Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And welcome back to Season 2. This season, we're going to be talking about stories. I was fortunate to go all around and meet all different types of youth. They just sat down and told their stories. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Cedric Jamal, and I'm Pingham Hens. I'm 20 years old, and I'm originally from Jersey City, born and raised, and I currently live in Bayonne. Oh, I thought I had to stop.
No, nope, you keep going. Now you can tell your whole story, the one that you wrote out.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Jersey City. I was born in a bad neighborhood. Bad neighborhood where I grew up with, I'm a twin, so it's like I grew up with a sister before my mother gave birth to a baby boy, which is now 13 years old, and I am biracial, by the way. I'm Italian and West Indian, so it was definitely hard. My childhood wasn't really a good childhood like I can expect. I dealt with negativity in my life, and I dealt with positivity. I've seen all drug trafficking and things like that happening because of my mother's side family, and they were mostly involved with drugs. So, you know, it was best for me to, like, grow up and not pay attention to the stuff like that. So I went to Jersey City High Schools. I went to Snyder High School and did my two and a half years there, and then I transferred to Bayonne. Because I moved to Bayonne, so Bayonne is not really it's like an area that is not well, like, really known as much. Doesn't really have as much pride events going on, and they have, like, the city events basically that the city throws. So yeah, I moved there. Pretty much, I moved there. So enough about my life. I remember when, you know, and I was identifying at the time, growing up as a kid and into high school and middle school and things like that, I was identifying, like, I was knowing my sexuality was starting to change. As a, you know, bisexual at the time, you know, playing it off as trying to be a little feminine in middle school and trying to actually be, play it off, like, I still like men, and do I still like women? And middle school, you know, yeah, I had boyfriends back then before this whole transformation. But then I just started sticking with, you know, girls. At 8th grade, I cut my hair. My mom was kind of pissed about that, because this was something that she wasn't ready, and it wasn't something that she expected to happen. Didn't think that her child was going to converse her gender to be a little more masculine. I did get in trouble for that. I didn't expect to get in trouble for that. I got my phone taken away, my laptop, everything. So then I, at the time, you know, as I'm now masculine female, I don't like the word butch or dyke. That's just not my words. Not gonna consist that either and ever use them terms. I was still feeling discomfort with myself. I would look in the mirror and would play around with mascara and act like it would be facial hair and try to train my voice to be deepened. The age of 14 and, you know, the graduation of what, you know, you would think that me being a 14-year-old person would wear, like, dresses and your average girl, your average little girl, your average teenage girl, whatever. I just, you know, it was just tough to, you know, try to figure out what I really wanted to become and still try to play it off a family that I still wanted to be a female, but play it off as a masculine female. But it just wasn't going well for me. Deep inside, I was now feeling like a man. I didn't really, you know, want to say this is my pronouns, he, him, and have the family look confused. It was just, I had to hide myself. I was just a hidden object. And I've been identifying as trans male, a male of trans experience, for over 13 years, but I hidden it because of society, being judged by family members, being pushed away by friends and certain family members, and being looked at funny. I was just cautious what I was going to deal with if I came out at 13 as a man of trans experience, but I dealt with so many negative and harsh words while being a masculinity female. So I pretty much was like, you know what, I'm going to say it when it's the right time. And I just kept thinking, you know, now I should start. I started doing my research at 14 and a half years old, going on 15, on HRT and how does it work and how does surgery work, the name changing. I did a lot of research before actually doing it at the age of 18. So I made my decision. I started testosterone October 21st, 2016, and I was 18 years old. I just couldn't wait. I just could not wait. It was a beautiful feeling for my first shot, and I wanted to see many more changes, and I did. I was, you know, dealing with some symptoms of you would become a little hungry, you would gain weight, you would get facial hair, but at the time, I was really focusing on my facial hair, because, I mean, I didn't really care too much about my body, but now my body was leading, you know, to depression, and my mood swings wasn't no joke, and they still aren't. Like, I still do it, mood swings left and right. It was just terrible, like, that, you know, when you start something, people disappear out your life, and I started seeing that. You know, when I did it, I ran to the ER because my anxiety attacks weren't something that I never expect to feel. I felt very paranoid and scared. I felt like tons of knots in my stomach. It was just crazy. I just felt like this was my body reacting to a chemical. And I don't like to say it like that, but this is how people in, you know, labs and scientists and doctors are calling it, little chemicals or hormones and things like that, that were being injected into my body. You know, but then after that, like a few times of doing the shot, I was just, you know, it didn't happen anymore. You know, I just was feeling the changes up here more and more and more. And I pretty much, so I was doing the hormones for now for over 2.7 years on, but I've been naturally transitioning with no hormones and no surgery for over, I want to say 14 years. Before deciding medically and surgically. So I've been doing my research on this transition for a lot. Like, it's really a process. Like, it's not a process, but it also is a process for society. Like, you really gotta prepare yourself. And you're gonna lose friends. You're gonna have people hate. You're gonna have people love you and like you and say, this is cool, I'm with it, I'm support. And you're gonna lose that too because you have people who are against it. I want to say, and I changed my name last year, officially legalized documentations, everything's September 28th, 2018, was something I dropped on my knees and cried. I definitely dropped to my knees and cried because, like, I stuck with a girl name. You know, my name, my original name was unisex, but people were telling me, oh, you can use that name too. I want it to be different. I want to feel different. I want to be a different, you know, I'm the same person that people know me, but I should have a different name. You know, I do. So I gave the lawyer a big hug. I cried in front of him. I cried in front of the judge. You know, So I pretty much have two middle names, and my name is Cedric. I did my name process with an organization that it was free. It's called Tel Aviv. They help a lot of people less than the trust me. So I'm not going to go into that process, but I will be telling you more about my surgery now. So I had my surgery last month. My surgery took me about 5 years. I struggled with insurances. I struggled with different surgeons. I've been pushed away. I've been discriminated by different surgeons until I found this one surgeon that is located in Newark, New Jersey, by the name of Dr. Jonathan Keefe. I was referred to him by a friend that got surgery done by him a couple of years back of his time transitioning, and still is to this day. He's an amazing doctor. I could see that. I really can really say that. He gives a lot of his patients a bright option. Like, I can definitely see that. So I pretty much was dealing with a lot of discriminatory hate from different surgeons before going to him. I had one big breast and one small breast, went to the point that I was diagnosed at a younger age with breast cellulitis. So one of the breasts stopped growing and the other one grew, which took a toll on my life. So I started doing the research on surgery 5 years, including dealing with chest dysphoria, binding, and dealing with the difficulties of breathing can really harm you. There's times that I couldn't breathe to the point that I would definitely feel like I had a ton of bricks on my chest. It just wasn't a great feeling, and everybody knows that binding is not a great feeling. And it brings more depression onto you as a person that you identify. I couldn't wait to actually see if my insurance could cover it. And as many times back then, New Jersey was very strict on surgeries like this, so I was getting declined left and right. When I met with him at the consultation, I expressed myself, and I'm just, you know, I'm ready. I had pushed myself to get my letters, referrals. You know, April 1st was the date. I was supposed to get surgery last year, but my insurance cut off, so I was crying. I cried like crazy. Like, I cried hysterically, and it just was something. So I knew I could get back on it. I also was dealing with chest dysphoria that broke into my social life. It broke into a relationship that I had, pushing a person away. I just wanted to really focus on something. I wanted to focus on me, and that was more important. And I wanted to focus on my experience and my learning experience outside. I still want to know me. I still want to know myself growing. And being with a person at the moment, I just could not focus on this relationship. So I had to work on me, and I still got to, and I feel like that should be for everybody. You have to love yourself, and I don't think I gave myself enough love to obviously give to another person. I just feel like I have to tend to love and care myself before giving that same treatment to somebody else, and the dysphoria definitely killed me, like literally put me in a hole, like a black, dark hole. And when I got the surgery, you know, the surgery was amazing. I had my sister support there, you know, a friend of mine support. Pretty much, like, the surgery was, like, about 3.5 hours, I could say. It was definitely, like, 3.5 hours. So this procedure was major, and it did affect my family, affected my mother. We speak now, but we didn't speak for about, like, 2.5 weeks of the recovery. I'm about a month and a half post-op. I want to say this Saturday does make 2 months. And I want to really say that it did, like, it was a big relief. Like, I felt like I lost, like, 100 pounds and a ton of bricks at the same time. Like, it was just very relief. Like, waking up the next morning, okay, I was wrapped up in drains and things like that, but when they were gone and everything, and I seen how my chest was looking and everything, the incisions, the nipples, and you know, I'm getting like sensation coming back little by little. So, my surgeon did a lot of he did wonders. He did the best results I can say for his patience. I really, really do appreciate him, like, for real. Appreciate his staff for helping me fight my insurance, seeing what everything is going on. I just had the best care, and I did this all by myself because when you don't have anyone that don't want you to do this, but this is something to make you happy, I did it because I wanted to fix my happiness. I didn't want to live stuck, discomfort, grossed out, because I didn't want to be a I'm not going to say that everybody used this today. Oh, I'm in the wrong body. I wasn't in the wrong body. My mind was in the wrong place. My mind was in the wrong place. So I was trying to be a woman still, but I just couldn't, because my mind was telling me this is not. And you, and the way how I was coming off, I would, back then I would be like a feminine, but my ways and were very masculinity. I was wearing like girl clothing, but coming off like a man. And my mind was telling me, you're not fit as a woman. You're not fit. I'm sorry to tell you, you don't present yourself as a woman. And I sure wasn't. As wearing girl clothing, I wasn't presenting myself as a woman. My ways, my masculinity ways were telling me, you need to fix this. I feel like you should fix your mind and play this man. If this is who you really want to become, do it for your reasons. I just feel like the one thing I really want to give the biggest shout out to is Hudson Pride Connection Centers. They definitely helped me with my transition. They helped a lot of brothers out with their medically transitioning. I want to thank the staff members out there. Y'all really do appreciate me, and I did actually have them reach out to me after I had my procedure done. Some of the staff members out there were checking up on me and sending their prayers on as well. Transitioning is not a trend. It's not a Game Boy. It's not an Xbox. It's not a PlayStation. It's life. It's a decision. It's a major decision, because at the end of the day, your visualization that you see in the mirror is what you're visualizing in real life. A mirror is just a reflection, and your reflection occurs outside your workspace, where you live at, everything. I just feel like, you know, do whatever it takes to make you this person that is sitting inside of you. Let it grow. Like a baby would grow inside their mom's stomach for 9 months. You know, at the end of the day, my transition was something I did for my personal reasons, and I love every bit of it, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what I did. I don't regret of what I'm doing to my body. I'm also looking forward for my last surgery, which will be my hysterectomy, and that's it, no more. I don't consider myself having kids. I don't want kids. I don't like kids. So I don't have a patience for kids, sorry. But yes, I just feel like that my story, I hope everyone hears it. I went through the sweat, the blood, the tears, through this whole journey. So this journey is not a joke, because we deal with a lot of society. Like, this society today is so wicked. And we also got our women out there that are fighting for our lives to be protective. And it just, you know, today it's just, they look at us like we have mental issues and so much. But we tend to block that and still be the person that we are identifying, who we want to be. We're growing. We're shining. We don't let nobody stop that. And I'm telling everybody, do not let nobody stop you and how you present yourself with their negative words, their negative opinions. At the end of the day, you got to stay strong. I'm staying strong, and I hope my brothers and sisters stay strong.
And thanks for listening to the first episode of Season 2, Stories. I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and this is QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.